Okay, so welcome back to Curious Questions with me, Ricky Williams. Today we have a very special guest. I know I say that every week, but really he's special because he's my son. It's cancer season, and my son, I would consider him a super cancer. He's born at the end of July. So Sun in Cancer also, he's got Venus in Cancer and Saturn in Cancer. So three planets in Cancer, and the Sun is in the Cancer house, the fourth house, the house of home. So it'll give us a great opportunity to delve into the sign of Cancer during Cancer season. And because we're not just our sun sign, there'll be an extra dollop of fire. He's Aries rising. And one of the things about Aries energy is typically it doesn't feel very comfortable to other people. You know, Aries is kind of pokey, proddy. In its worst days, it's a bully. All right. But even in its best days, it could be a little pushy. And so when you have the combination of being pushy and being a sensitive cancer, you get some interesting situations. So hopefully we'll get into some of those. And I think it's just a cool story. Blaze and I just have a cool story. Obviously, I'm his father, but our relationship really didn't start to blossom until several years ago. And I think a lot of our bonding really occurred because of a shared interest and love for astrology. So we'll get into that, and you'll get a chance to meet Keikoa Blaze Williams. All right. Okay. So here he is, my guest today, Keikoa Blaze Williams. What's up?
How's it going, Dad? It's nice to be on.
Yeah. So usually I start the show and I ask people if they understand the concept of the podcast. So do you understand?
I think so. Yeah. I've listened to most of the episodes.
Yeah. So I look at your chart, but I already know your chart, so I didn't have to look at it. So I look at your chart and then I use it to guide the questions that I ask. And so one of the first questions I start with is, so what do you think about this concept and what do you think about astrology?
I think this is a really interesting concept because I think for a lot of people, astrology can be a little bit difficult to grasp considering how society treats it and how a lot of the information out there isn't exactly what we would consider to be accurate or deep or esoteric. So I think this is a really, really awesome opportunity because, you know, you speak the chart and then you ask questions and then you let them speak their truth of their lives. People can make their own connections and associations. And I think allowing people to free associate in the sense of making that astrological connection and just hearing somebody talk, I think that's really helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So, I mean, obviously your dad is an astrologer, so you've been exposed to it. But looking at your chart, Aries rising, Taurus moon, and then Cancer sun. So the moon and the sun are both in what we consider feminine signs. Because they're more receptive, you know, more sensitive. And your rising is Aries, which is like the prototypical masculine, go forward, you know, damn the torpedoes kind of attitude. And so the ascendant being kind of what people experience, how we show up. And how has that been for you to have such these different kinds of energies? You know, one sense is, and again, I'm speaking from experience, is when people first meet you, there's an idea of who you are. You know, one, because you're tall, one, you're African-American, and then people that know, they know that your dad was a professional athlete. And so there's these expectations of how you're supposed to be. But cancers typically are more attuned to their inner world, to the subjective realm. And Taurus is the sign of peace, you know, whereas Aries is a sign of war. So how has it been what's your experience been like of having that chart?
It's interesting. I think the nature of my moon and my sun are very polar to the nature of Aries. So I think, you know, being a subjective, internal, sensitive person, but carrying like the mask of the warrior, and it's interesting, right? Like the Aries moon energy, it's in the first, it's kind of like you can kind of feel that like defensive energy.
Yeah.
But for me, the way I experience it most is that when I show up somewhere, I'm in a situation and I just naturally be myself, which is a little bit assertive, a little bit straightforward, a little bit blunt.
A little bit.
Yeah. It can trigger and elicit certain reactions out of people that you would expect out of somebody who's, you know, blunt or maybe pokes you in the way they articulate themselves. And being a sensitive person who I think deep down inside, I want to see people happy, feeling good, feeling well. When I see reactions that point to the opposite of that, like, you know, you just hurt my feelings or that didn't feel good.
It
hurts, you know, it's an interesting paradox and dynamic. Cause I'm like, I know I caused this, but at the same time, I'm feeling the pain that I caused you. So it's, wrestling with that can be tough, but I think I'm learning to use that Aries energy as like a protection for that Taurus piece and a protection for that Cancer inner world. So I try to carry myself with poise, but not be too over the top when I express myself or I need to assert myself. But yeah, wrestling with that is mostly just the inner world. I feel sensitive and attuned to people's feelings and emotions, but sometimes when I just act out in the world, it can point to the opposite, that I'm not very attuned or in touch with how other people feel or how my actions are going to affect them.
Yeah, so it's Cancer season, and when this podcast goes live, it will still be Cancer season, and so I think it's a good opportunity to dive into Cancer. And so I think one of the stereotypical, but it's accurate, things we can say about Cancer is Cancers tend to be sensitive. All right. And a lot of people, as times have evolved, right, our attitude about, is it a good thing or is it a bad thing to be sensitive? Okay. But typically if you're a guy, it's not considered a positive thing. All right. So do you consider yourself a sensitive person?
I do consider myself sensitive. I feel things very deeply. When it comes to my own personal emotions and other people, I feel very sensitive. Yeah, it almost feels like emotions can be like cinder blocks on my back.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And so, all right. Type of astrology that we do is evolutionary astrology, and so it leads us to the question: if someone is born, because saying a Cancer is sensitive is just descriptive, you know. All right. So what? But to start to ask the question, why, like, what's the point of being sensitive? Why would someone be born with such a profound level of sensitivity?
Well, I think at the core of Cancer, it's about developing an open heart. And I think in order to do that, you really need to feel life. When I think of Cancer, I think about the crab and that shell that we need. But as you go throughout life, it's like you have to shed that shell. And
but real life though, like what's an example of you're a Cancer? What's an example of your shell?
Of my shell.
Yeah. Right, because I think this is a way to help people understand Cancer, isn't that a disease, but it's a crab. How does that relate to a person? From the outside, looking at the astrological symbols, it can seem like, what is this? But there's profound wisdom in Cancer. And so, you know, you're a good student. You've read and you understand Cancer. But from your lived experience, right? Can you talk about what you've noticed is your shell? Because the idea behind Cancer is underneath the shell of the crab is this sensitive animal, and the shell is there to protect it. Because if it didn't have a shell, the seagulls would just pluck it, eat it. It wouldn't survive. And so part of Cancer is we talked about Cancers are sensitive, and the awareness that if you're trying to survive in this world, sensitivity requires some level of protection. And so, you know, they're one and the same in as a matter of survival. And so sometimes people will say, why are you being so defensive, right? As a negative thing. But someone who's a sensitive person needs to have some healthy boundaries or set of defenses. Otherwise, they're not going to survive. And so have you noticed that based on your sensitivity that you've created certain shells? No, this is a good example of cancer, because cancer is subjective, right? And sometimes when we're talking to someone and they say something and we feel it deeply and we're in our feelings, you know, it's like, if it kind of feels like you're literally swimming in water and the words aren't there.
That's,
you
know, exactly what it feels like. Yeah.
the words aren't there, you know?
I know exactly what you're talking about. And there's plenty of examples. I just feel like stuck.
This is great because part of being a guy is we're not taught to go into our feelings. We're taught when we feel our feelings to get out of our feelings. And so for cancer, the juice, right, is in the feelings. And so this idea of, as these feelings come up, going into the feelings and then opening your mouth and seeing what comes out.
I think in a sense, I have a really hard time with rejection or hearing no. So I think I've created a shell in the sense of I don't really put myself in positions where, like, no could be a possibility or rejection could be a possibility.
This is fun. So that this idea of, I don't like to be told no. Okay. What part of your chart do you think that is?
Aries rising?
Yes. Right. Because if you think about a 2-year-old, right, that's our first Mars return. And that's when we're really learning to own attempting to take that first step of learning to earn our assertiveness. And the idea of Mars or Aries energy is it needs to express itself. And so if it meets some kind of boundary, it's antithetical to its nature. And so that's why it's associated with anger, you know, because we meet certain boundaries. And this is kind of what I was saying. Interesting with a sensitive person with a quick trigger, you know?
Yeah. Right? I'm working on it.
I'm working on it, but it's real. And I think one of the things I try to explain to people is when you look at a chart, to a certain limited extent, a chart can describe who someone is, but it really describes the raw materials that you're here working with, right? And someone who has a lot strong Aries energy, one of the raw materials is it's hot, right? And I like that game, maybe you're too young, we call it Hot Potato.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And like, right? you don't want the hot potato. You try to get rid of it as fast as possible. And that's kind of how Aries is, you know? When the heat or the passion rises, it just wants to express itself.
Yeah.
And that's something that it's there for a purpose, right? There's a reason that it's there, but learning how to use it, how to master it, is tough.
Right. Part of Aries is about, right, the assertion of our will. Right, the chart rule of Aries, Mars being in Pisces, it's kind of like it's pointing the opposite direction of, like, right, surrender. Right, it feels like an aligned with God or aligned with the universe type energy. But Aries feels like, what I want, let me get it.
Yeah.
So what is a good how can those two energies mix and complement each other?
Okay, so let's unpack this, because this is a really, really good question. So Pisces and Aries is what Blaze is talking about. And all right, I don't want to get too jargony, but it's an interesting teaching point. So the rising sign, okay, the rising sign is Aries. And in astrology, the language we use is we say a planet rules a sign. But really what we're saying is the energy of the planet and the energy of the sign are very similar. They're essentially saying the same thing. And so the rising sign, whatever planet is associated with that sign, becomes very strong in the chart. Okay. So Blaze is an Aries rising, and so Mars is the ruler or the planet associated with it. And in astrology, we look to see, where is that planet? Okay, so the idea is Aries, and this is a sign. Signs are about motivations. And so the motivation of Aries is the assertion of will, okay? The assertion of will. And I think of this as, we have an idea, and that idea is executed, right? Like I was saying about the hot potato, right? Is that the fire comes up and then it's expressed, okay? So an example, simple example of Aries is the thought arises, I'm hungry, okay? right? In order for us to survive in the world, we've had to learn to take that thought, I'm hungry, and turn it into some kind of action that leads to us putting food into our mouths, okay? And, for a long part of our evolution, that required killing something, okay? And so this is part of the association. So we look to see, so the sign is the general goal. And then the planet is specifically where in our life we're learning to, how and where we're learning to assert will, okay? And what Blaise was pointing out is his Mars is in the sign of Pisces, okay, in the 12th house, whatever that means. But it's in an energy that's typically antithetical to Aries and Mars, okay? Pisces is about letting go. It's about surrendering. It's about letting go of the will, letting go of the ego, where Aries Mars is about the assertion of the ego. And to me, to answer your question, it's easy. It's simple. It's not easy. Not my will, but thy will. Right? And if you think about it, it takes tremendous courage. It takes tremendous courage to live like that.
Right? It does. Yeah.
It takes tremendous courage to live like that. But the nature of your chart says if you don't find a way to live like that, you'll have a lot of bad luck.
Yeah.
You'll have a lot of bad luck. Yeah. Okay. And so now the conversation gets spiritual. So what do you think about this idea of not my will, but thy will? What does that mean to you?
It means to me that means that whatever desire or conscious will or anything that I want has more to do with my ego and my subjectivity than it does with what's best for me or what's meant for me.
Again, let's bring this down to earth. Okay, what's an example of? So not my, so if I'm saying not my, there has to be a my, and then I'm saying thy. So not my, thy, okay? So who is the my and who is the thy?
Like, are you asking me, yes, like as a question of what I just said?
No, I'm just asking you in general, because one of the things about Pisces, right, and I'm going out on a limb and I'm doing it. One of the things about Pisces, if you have Neptune in your chart strong, you have planets in the 12th house, or you have planets in Pisces, you need to believe in God. God, universe, higher power, whatever. You need to believe in something larger than yourself, because the formula doesn't work if you say, not my will, thy will, but there's no idea or concept or belief in a thy, right? In some sense of cosmic order or purpose, okay? And I think Pisces often is associated with addiction. And I think it comes because when people don't have some kind of spiritual connection or spiritual practice, the only escape left is some form of addiction. And so I'm saying Pisces energy needs to have some relationship to the other, however that's defined. And so I'm asking you, what is your relationship to whatever you want to call it? Because, right, if we can't have the conversation, not my will, thy will, if there's no concept of the thy.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
And so from, starting off as a kid, because, yes, I'm a spiritual and religious person, and I would say your mother is a spiritual person, but you and I didn't start interacting, a lot until you were a teenager. And so what has been your experience with, I'll just say God, because it's a simple word to use. What's been your experience of God throughout your life?
So I grew up in Hawaii with my mom, who's kind of a free-spirited person. She was really into like reggae and Rasta. So I had the sense of of a connection to like Jah, she would call it. And being in Hawaii, there was a lot of nature and just a lot of like beautiful aesthetics. So early on, we would pray in nature, when we go on hikes and stuff. So my association with Jah and God was like the nature around us, like earth. And as I moved on, I went to a school in Georgia, pretty Christian area. And, kind of a rough time in school there, and they had a Christian Bible, like a Bible study in a church on Sundays. So I would go, and I found a lot of peace in surrendering and just praying to God and just letting go of the idea that I need to be in control. Just for that 15 to 20 minutes every Sunday felt really good. And then I started to have more interactions with people and started to develop my own way of thinking. And I was like, yeah, I don't think there's a God. I thought I was an atheist for a while. And then I moved in with you and learned astrology. And ever since then, it's kind of, I'm still like figuring it out. It feels like astrology is almost like God's blueprint or God's map. But as of now, I mean, I still feel like when I think of God, I think of nature and I think of the sky. But yeah, I'd say that's what my relationship with God has been like.
So there's maybe a connection there. So back to what I was asking. So how would you define, if it's not your will, where do you turn to, whose will is it? In nature, the sky?
When I think about God, I really think about when I look at the sky and I see the moon and the planets, and it's just like, and knowing astrology, when I look at it now, it almost feels like they're speaking a language or like they're like speaking to us. So that's my association with God nowadays is the sky, and then it's chart.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, you kind of moved in, came back. We came together a few years ago. And when you first, I mean, you know, we had some conversations when you were in Georgia in military school.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I got to bust you out of there. But you know, one of the things I suggested to you in military school, and this was after looking at your chart and seeing this Mars in the 12th, was I suggested, and seeing the Cancer, and I was like, wow, this kid really could benefit from meditating. and you know, and it's a general statement to say that anyone could benefit from meditating, but I don't think that's actually true. But your chart, because of this Pisces energy we're talking about, and because you've got three planets in Cancer, water signs, which are subjective, and meditation is one of the best ways to tune in to the subjective realm, to learn to feel comfortable swimming in the water. And you kind of laughed at me when I suggested meditation. And so what was, as you came into my world, my sphere, what was your attitude about, like, we talked a little bit about God, but about religion, astrology, and spirituality as you entered? What was your attitude?
I was a little bit torn, because I thought, obviously, like I was heavily conditioned by my ideas of you that my mom had, and I didn't really know you that well, so I watch a lot of video and footage and documentaries on you, so I had like this idea that he's like this enlightened guy, but you know, I kind of thought you were corny. I was, you know, just like following the stars, and I was just like, yo, he's Ricky. He lives in his own world. Like he's just his own dude, you know, like whatever.
It's true.
I'm like, shit.
Yeah.
And, but on the same token, I was like, there's just something about you just rubbed me as like, why? So I was like, just keep an open mind. You know, what can, you know, he's smart. You know, I had a lot of experience with you where you just knew a lot of information. So I could definitely respect your intelligence enough to keep an open mind, which I'm glad I did. Cause as I did, it was pretty mind blowing. Just being able to give context to life more than I could before I knew astrology.
Yeah. So talk more about the, like coming into astrology, like, because first of all, when did it click that, maybe there's something to this?
When we had a conversation about, we were talking about my mom, my stepdad, and me all living in the same house.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the specifics of the conversation, but I remember it led to us talking about how we were all Cancers.
Yeah.
And just hearing you talk about the archetype of Cancer, and just kind of coming up in my own head, like how three of those different people can interact in the house that all have their own, you know, family stuff.
Yeah.
All of us had a lot of family stuff. So
yeah.
I think that was the moment where I was like, I was just that's when it clicked to me that like me, my mom, and Julio, like we were all in that house together for a reason, you know, like all that happened, like it just felt like there was meaning to it. And the fact that Cancer could give context to that meaning, I was like, okay, this seems legit.
Yeah. And so what was that step to start to actually study? Because, you know, I remember being shocked, you know, you were going through Inner Sky, going through the astrology books and really like trying to understand it.
was always really keen on I wanted to be like really smart. I wanted to know everything. I still am the type where I want to know the information. I want to be a know-it-all. So I guess once I found out that I was like, it almost seemed like magic. I mean, I still think astrology is like magic, but especially when you're first coming into it, you know, being 14 and you don't really know much about life, you know, everything's just kind of confusing. And then you can pick up a book and it's such clear context and it gives you such clear prescription and you can go out in the world and live it. It's almost like a science experiment. Like you take some of the information, you go out in the world, you play with it and the results come back and prove, you know, what you read or what you thought. And it's just fascinating. And I was like, yo, I can't not know this. So
yeah. Two things that I want to talk more about. One, you've used the word context a couple of times, and I think it's a useful concept when trying to understand the usefulness, you know, of astrology. And the other thing you said was you said something about three cancers living in the same house and having family stuff. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I think some people, especially people that are positive people, you know, they might balk at the idea that if you're a cancer, it means that you have family stuff. And I'm a positive person, but I think there's some validity to that statement. And again, from an evolutionary point of view, we have our chart for a reason, because there's areas where we're growing and we're learning. Because if we look at our lives and we look at from the time we were born until now, the only thing that we can say 100% for sure is that we have grown and we have learned from the time we were born until now. And so you can assume that maybe this has a lot to do with what we're here to do. And so someone born with the sun, especially in Cancer, you know, that's going to be the number one main area. Whatever Cancer represents is going to be the number one main area of growth and development, which means issues, right? Because that's where we grow and that's where we develop. And so how do you understand being a Cancer related to your family issues?
Well, I think, right, like you said, like part of Cancer is developing an open heart and attuning to your subjectivity and emotions. And I think in order to truly do that, we need to fill the safe space with other people, what we call family, to really open up our hearts and put ourselves out there and not receive the shame or the rejection or the judgment. And
oof. Sorry, I just felt something. So, you know, so you're a Cancer, I have a Cancer moon. So both sensitive guys, okay? And I just remember being a kid and being in the car with my mom and just being like a kid and wanting to share stuff about my day, you know. But my mom, she's an Aries, she's a warrior, and she probably had a rough day at work and she was stressed out, you know, and little kid is like babbling on, you know. And then she didn't mean it, you know, but she would say something and I just would be so hurt and like shut down.
Yeah, like, I can resonate. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, this idea of family and finding the people that feel safe to.
Yeah. And I think, you know, some of us are lucky, but, you know, most of us are born with certain, you know, goals in life, right? Like our chart lays out our destiny or whatever you want to call it. And we're put in these families who have like expectations and what they want us to be. So I don't think what I ever wanted to be or who I truly am meant to be ever aligned with my mom's expectations or what she wanted me. They actually clashed. So right. I think that's where the trouble arised for me. But obviously I think the latter of that is I moved here with you and I've never felt family like I have here where I can really just be myself. I can be open 100% and I don't feel that like something's wrong with me or
yeah,
like I'm the family black sheep or I'm just me, you know? Yeah. And that's what family, and then to be able to return that to other people, to just let them be themselves and not give any judgment.
Yeah.
Like that feels really good to me.
Yeah.
Just like a tribe.
Yeah. So tribe, family, this is Cancer, and your Cancer sun is in the fourth house, which is more family, more internal. And so I think the one theme I can say is consistent across the board for Cancers is I think of that. There's a book, a children's book that I read when I was a kid and read it to some of my kids. And it's, Are You My Mother? You know, it's about this little bird that's born. And somehow, like, I think it was an egg and it fell out of the tree. until it started going around to like every animal or everything that it found and said, are you my mother? And I feel like, I'm laughing, but I feel like that's cancer, you know? And that's part of the journey of cancer of trying to find home, you know, because we're born into a family, but I feel a lot of the times cancer is strong. You have to try to figure out, are these, even though I'm born into this family, are these really my people? Do I feel safe? Does this place engender open heart? And if not, it's about finding people, places that do engender an open heart.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the big benefits of astrology for me was when I moved out here and I got context into this, I kind of dawned on me like, just because they're my family doesn't mean that they love me, you know? Like, just because someone isn't blood related to me doesn't mean that I can't have like a deep connection that feels like family.
Yeah.
And just after having that insight, it's like nowadays I feel like most of my family aren't really people that are related to me, you know, like Matt,
yeah.
Telly.
Yeah.
They're not blood related to me, you know,
yeah.
But those are the type of people that I can be myself around and feel comfortable,
yeah,
and safe.
All right. So let's tie this. I mentioned context. Okay. And what I found in astrology is it's enabled me to give some of the most challenging and difficult periods of my life or situations, been able to help give me context so that I can see them in a different light and it helped me process these experiences, okay? And we talked about family issues, right? And I would say, obviously, I know your story. It's pretty, on the list of family issues, it's kind of high up there, you know? Is that something you feel comfortable talking about?
Which issue are you talking about?
Just your, if when you say we all have family issues, like
yeah,
how would you just, yeah, how would you describe your, how would you start to describe your family issues other than having me as a dad?
My mom was a stripper.
Whoa. That doesn't necessarily create a negative family situation.
No, no, not at all. I'm just kidding around.
I know. Yeah.
Shout out to all the dancers out there. My mom has a very intense feeling towards you that's not pleasant.
And that makes it difficult for a child, right?
Correct.
When the parent, I mean, we know that now because of psychology, right? So all you parents out there that are having difficult times with your children's parents, like, work that shit out, okay?
Yeah, real
seriously.
Talk.
So because right, it creates a split. It creates a split in a child because you see when your children are like both of you, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And if you hate the other one, then it teaches the child to hate part of themselves. So
yeah, 100%. And I think, you know, as my mom carried that hatred, you know, I could really feel like, I mean, I look very similar to you. I have a lot of similar mannerisms, even though I wasn't around you. So I think my mom witnessing that must have triggered stuff, you know, in her. But I think yeah, that's a start. You know, my mom, you know, hitting you up, telling you that her goal in life is to make yours miserable. That's, you know, having that relationship between your parents doesn't make it easy. And then growing up, I just was told, like, I had this idea of you that you're this like really bad person who was like in this deep relationship with my mom and then just picked up and left for Kristen and like just like left her hanging with a kid. And you denied that you were my dad and like you didn't want to be in my life, whatever, whatever. And she had to like get all these lawyers and it was so stressful and poor her. And she fought so hard for me. And oh, by the way, he wants nothing to do with you. That's why he only visits you once every 3-4 years. So I was like, this guy's a fucking dirtbag. Like, he's a piece of shit. And you know, honestly, like looking back, it doesn't feel good, but you know, you come to town and my mom, you know, would kind of give me the message of like, you know, now's your shot. You know, you want that Lego set, you want this, you want that. So growing up, my whole idea with my dad was, oh, he's this football player who makes a lot of money. And when he comes to town, he can buy me shit. And he's also a dick to my mom. So I never really had like a father figure. And then my mom and I moved from Hawaii to Miami in 2012. And she met this super intelligent engineer. His name is Julio. Really, really great stand-up guy. I'll say that, at least on the surface. Taught me like the ways of being a man. And he became like my father figure. And then it turned into, and he's a very, very Saturnian person, very like by the rules, by the book. You know, you grow up to be a man, the man takes care of the house, the family, like very, I don't want to call it chauvinistic, but
old school,
very old school. Yeah. Very, very traditional. Yes.
Yeah.
And so I kind of started to, you know, like I started to wear suits to school. I started to embody being like Julio's son. But at the same time, we had moved to Miami where my dad was, you know, the superstar for 10 years. So people were like, oh, you're, you know, you're Ricky's son. So it was kind of a, you know, wrestling with, oh, this is my dad, but everyone sees him as this great guy, but I don't. And, you know, people say, oh, your dad's awesome. But then I reply with, actually, he's a douchebag, you know. And then, you know, as I became older, I think my natural desires and urges started to come out that didn't align with what my mom wanted for me.
Yeah.
And Julio being like the father figure, the traditional one, he started to become like my authoritarian figure as well. And that just created a weird dynamic because my mom and Julio had an interesting dynamic where my mom would put him down, belittle him. Like they would have arguments and she would come to me and like vent. Cancer. Come to me and vent and talk shit and like, you know, but then yeah. The next day she'd be pulling the same dynamic with me and Julio would be on her side.
Yeah.
And it just kind of felt like, damn, like, are you a little bitch or like what's the deal, yo? So, you know, that was really hard
to
work.
It was tough.
It was tough. Yeah. And it got to a point where I couldn't exist in the household anymore. So I got sent to a military school in Georgia, which I can't lie. It definitely taught me a lot and it's still a lot of discipline and definitely got me ready for real life more than any other regular school could have. But I think after a year and a half, I think I was in a place where I got set straight. Like I was getting good grades. I wasn't getting in trouble. I had rank.
Yeah.
And so I felt good about myself and, approached my mom about potentially going to a different boarding school or coming home. And that idea kind of just got shot down. And then I would go home for the breaks and it would just be the same family dynamics replaying, you know, my mom getting mad at Julio or getting mad at me. And then just a mess.
It was a lot. Yeah. And especially again, for a sensitive, right. Remember what we already said, all this going on for a sensitive kid who's picking up on the subtleties. And another thing about cancer, especially in the fourth house, it has a lot to do with home, family, and the mother. And so you and your mom were super close. And I think being like super bonded and feeling everything your mom feels, you know, and I think this is real talk of kind of the cancer theme. And the reality is, even if we have a wonderful family, we kind of don't choose our family. You know, we end up in these situations and it's what kind of we're made of and it's our inheritance. And then I think as we go in life, we go into life, we have to do something. We have to redeem our family. We have to redeem our past. We have to do something with those experiences. And so one thing I want to share is, as you talked about that is, I have a cancer moon. So family issues too, very similar that my dad wasn't around and my mom and my dad didn't get along and my mom was always saying negative things about my dad. So a very shared experience.
Yeah.
Except my dad wasn't famous, you know. So which made it a lot easier. But there was a moment when one of the three, you know, the visits I made every 3 years, I was in Hawaii. I was in Hawaii visiting, you know, I was visiting and like real talk from it, like I, of course, you were my son and I loved you, but you were a little dickhead to me, you know?
Yeah.
And I didn't blame you. I understood that, you know, you're in a difficult situation. But I remember one time we were in Hawaii and we were driving and you said something to me and I broke down into like tears and I was like stunned. I was like, you know, Aries rising. I was like, damn, this kid is like lethal, you know? Like, you know, I was like, why do you keep calling me father, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, why don't you call me dad? He's like, because you're not a dad. You're my father. I was like, you know, it's something you said about like, you're just not there. And it just took me back to like my dad. And like, it felt like it was me having a conversation with my dad. And it just was like it was just a wake up call. And, you know, and the way that things went down, it was something that I was always eating me up. And so, but something always told me, just, you know, just stick with it, have faith and he'll see who you really are one day. And, you know, and so when you called me up one day and, you know, it's funny how the universe works. I think you called me because the only person you're allowed to call were your parents. So, it was either me or no one. And so you called me up and we started to like reconnect, you know? And again, when I got, and this is, I think, where astrology is amazing for parents, you know? And I think had your mom, you know, been open to it and understood who you were, your chart, certain things you would have you did, she would have understood them different context.
Yeah, it's,
she had a different context
than my behavior. Yeah,
yeah. And so I looked at your chart and I was like, this kid, like, on the outside, yes, it looks from the outside, his behavior probably Aries rising, Mars and Pisces in the 12th. Yeah,
good job, Uranus.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, from the outside, and I remember we were talking earlier, and I was like, you got criminal tendencies. And it's
triggered me so much.
It's true that it's because, you know, you're not supposed to say that to your kid, but to me, I was just being real with what the experience was. And it's true if you have, because criminal tendencies is the same thing as being a genius, right? The idea of thinking outside of the box, right? Seeing the convention and seeing the rules and being able to see past them, right? It leads you to genius, but it also leads you into, it can lead you into criminal behavior. And so, you know, when I looked at your child, I was like, okay, I see on the outside, he could seem like he should be in a military school, but a fourth house Cancer with the Taurus moon, I was like, he's not going to make it. He's not going to last in there. Like, the outer shell will last so long, but once they get to the core, like, something bad is going to happen. So I was like, we got to find a way to get you out of there.
Thank God, man. I mean, yeah, thank God.
Yeah.
That kind of ended up happening. Yeah.
Yeah.
The shell collapsed.
And then the other part, like, as you moved and you moved in with us, like, realizing, looking at your chart, I was like, this kid needs to find home, right? Cancer. And part of, and what I learned through that experience, because as an astrologer, I'm always learning from observation, is that part of the Cancer mission, especially fourth house, is about finding home. But sometimes finding home means leaving the home that's not really your home.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, is that accurate? How has that experience been? Because one of the most taboo things in the world is for a mother and the child to be separated.
Right. Prematurely, know? Especially.
Yeah. Yes. Prematurely. That's better. Because that's part of the Cancer burden, is that this thing that's our home, the thing that our family, the thing that we're so connected to, eventually we have to leave, right? The crab, right?
Yeah.
The crab outgrows its shell, then it has to go find a bigger shell.
Yeah.
But it's a painful experience and it's scary to to leave that shell and be raw and exposed until you find that next shell. And I feel like this past couple of years for you has been that process.
For sure.
Of leaving one shell and then finding another. And another theme, I'll let you talk about this, that's connected, is as we've been talking, this idea of, you know, born in Miami, right? Because fourth house home, born in Miami, then Hawaii, right? Then back to Miami, then Georgia, and then California. And one of the things, like, are you my mother, that I've noticed is in each of the environments you've been in, you've kind of taken on that as home and really tried to fit in.
Yeah.
And even military school, right? Even with Julio, wearing suits to school, you really tried to embody that. Just like, is this my home, right? Is this my, no. Is this my, no.
Yeah,
is this my,
that's
right?
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's funny because, you know, as I feel like in this sense, you know, like whenever I rep you, like it feels like home.
Yeah.
But over, you know, that ladder that you're talking about, you know, it started with living with my mom and Julio. That worked, you know, for 8 years, 9 years, whatever.
Yeah.
Started to outgrow that, wasn't working, got sent to military school, kind of, I found more comfort and I felt more, I could feel more safe in the sense of, I could be around a ton of testosterone filled guys and like just be myself. And like, if they catch us, they catch us. But like, yeah, when we're here, we could just fucking be whatever we want to be. Right.
Yeah.
But that came with everything that came with it. And then I moved over here to LA with you and Linnea. And that felt like a whole new, it was like every time I moved, it was like a whole new, like, wow, like this is a different dimension of like home can be like this.
Well, I mean, what I'm laughing is like, you know, you were like a certain type of person in Miami, you know, because I remember I came to visit you. Oh, you were a tennis player, right? You were an atheist tennis player. You know,
and then I'm like a chameleon.
And then, well, it's this idea, but this idea of looking for home. And I think part of looking for home is you have to take it on to see, does this fit, right?
Yeah.
It can't be superficial, otherwise you don't have that experience. And then military school, it was like Georgia, you know, fundamentalist Christian. And like when you came to California, like you were a fundamentalist, like right winger. Linnea and I were like, no way, you know. And then to see the transition to like now, you know, it's It seems like though this feels more like home.
Yeah. Right? Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. I feel a lot more comfortable. I don't.
But one of the things for me, you know, coming in late as a father figure was looking at your chart and to say, okay, what can I do to help like him find home, you know? And part of that was pushing you out of a home situation that in our minds was supposed to be a home situation, but in reality, it didn't feel like home.
Yeah, no, it was forced.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, and kind of part of your story is kind of a home situation, and then something blows up, and then you're kind of kicked out, find a next home situation. And so, you know, this, I felt like we had this cancer like ritual moment where finally you're not even 18 yet. You'll be 18 next month, but you got your own place finally.
Yeah. Right. Feels good.
You got your own place finally. Right. I mean, unless you do something egregious, no one's going to kick you out. Right. Yeah. There's no parental figure. And one of the things I saw this chart and I was like, and as a parent, I was like, this kid doesn't do well with parents as authority figures. And so instead of playing, like trying to fight that, like how can I empower you to take care of yourself and be independent as soon as possible? And I'm just really, you know, really proud of the way you responded. You know, when you first got here, you know, it was tough to get you to walk to school, but you know, you've like, it's just been cool to watch you really mature and, you know, now, you know, you can pick me up from the airport.
Yeah. I honestly couldn't, you know, I couldn't do it after you. So really appreciate all the support.
Yeah. But again, you know, I know that I'm pro astrology, but I really feel as a father, like, you know, trying to get out of my own stuff and try to honor who you were. I think looking at your chart has really helped. But I think more importantly, being able to introduce you to and share astrology with you, I feel like I'm giving you the tools to be able to live your life to the fullest.
Yeah, 100%. You know, and obviously I have a lot of stuff around like my relationship with you growing up with my mom and stuff in the past couple of years. But you know, when I think of a good father at the end of the day, I think about somebody who gives their kids the necessary tool set to go out in the world and do what they want and be happy and live, crush it, you know, do what they want. I feel like you've given me everything I've needed to go out in the world and do what I need to do, what I want to do. So
yeah. Well, I mean, I think this is you know, this is how it works and this is beautiful, right? Like family stuff, right? I've had family stuff and I'm 44 and I feel like I'm just now getting to a point where I'm like, took me 44 years to find home, you know? And I think what we can do as parents is as we figure things out, we can hand down, you know, solutions to help our kids figure it out sooner. And it seems like you're doing much better than me of finding home and having a relationship with your father. So that's awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on. This was fun.
It's a pleasure. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
So that was fun. I really enjoyed that conversation. You know, I tried to, I think I'm always doing this with astrology. It's a practice. I'm a air sign, Gemini. So we tend to be up in our head a little bit. So bringing the concepts down to earth. It's actually something that I talk to Blaze about a lot. When we talk astrology it's fun and it's easy to get up in our heads and think conceptually about the symbols and what they mean. But bringing them down to earth and looking at our own chart and trying to understand what's going on, I think is so helpful. You know, one thing though I want to stress about our inner subjectivity is I mentioned during the conversation with Blaze that this is evolutionary astrology. And so it's thinking about what is the purpose of sensitivity, okay? And the archetype that I associate most with Cancer is the archetype of the healer. And this idea of if we can be sensitive to our own subjective states, that gives us the ability to take care of ourselves. And, you know, kind of like, I think I have a newborn now and little soul doesn't talk. So when he's upset, he cries. But you know, yeah, maybe there are subtleties in the different kinds of cries, but he cries. And I have to have an open enough heart to be able to sense, okay, what does he need to be able to give that to him? Okay. But we develop that skill first by being sensitive to our inner child, to our inner crybaby. But that extends out and it gives us the ability to be perceptive to other people's inner crybaby. And that puts us in a position to be able to help bring some kind of nurturing or caring energy to a person. All right. So a little bit more about cancer. Before cancer was the crab, cancer was a turtle. And the idea of the shell, okay, is easy. Before the turtle, cancer was the womb. Okay, and I really like, this is my favorite cancer image, the womb. Because the womb, if you think of what is the purpose of the womb, it protects, it nurtures the fetus until it grows into maturity, right? And then when it grows to maturity, it has to leave, okay? It has to leave. And then when it leaves, right, the womb goes away because it doesn't serve a purpose anymore. And the womb transfers and it becomes another cancer signification, the family. And if you think of what the purpose of the family, it's the exact same purpose of the womb, right? But now instead of protecting a fetus, you're protecting the young child and creating a safe space for that young child to be nurtured and grow until it's mature enough to leave. And then when it leaves the family, right? So we talked about this, it leaves one shell and it goes out into the world, okay? And I think this is the ideal evolutionary tract for cancer is to keep going to bigger and bigger shells until eventually you have the realization, famous Ziggy Marley song, that we are all brothers and sisters, that our family is humanity. But right, if cancer has to go in levels, okay, creating that safe, sensitive place where it's safe to be attentive to other people's needs, right? As we develop the skills of, okay, how do we nurture ourselves? How do we nurture the people around us? And ideally that keeps on expanding, okay? But with cancer, keep the heart open, right? But at the same time, you got to learn who your family members are, right? You got to learn who your people are, where home is, okay? Okay, well, thank you for checking us out. I'll see you next time on Curious Questions with me, Ricky Williams. Bye.